Today is the 1st of November 2017, and today I was thinking about events in our lives, things that have happened in our lives. You know, one can't help but go back through their life and reminisce and look at what has happened, you know. I was born in the home of the time that I was born, my dad was a common laborer. You know, he dug ditches and he worked his way up. The God, of course, allowed him to do this, but he worked his way up to a plumber. And then after years, he started his own plumbing company and had a measure of success, specialized in dental plumbing. And of course, that's what he wanted me to be. And that's what my brother became. But I had no desire to be around construction people and their vile mouths and their just the whole atmosphere was just not something that I wanted to be around. And I always had sort of a desire at a young age to try to help other people, and I had the misconception that going into some kind of social service work field would do that, allow me to do that. But I found just the opposite occurring. The government, Big Daddy, cannot help anybody, as a general rule. The government is designed to get people dependent upon them and not to help people become independent. And so I really found myself in a quandary when you all know what happened to me within the Kansas City, Missouri office of the state of Missouri. I'd already worked for the state of Kansas and everything. And I realized that, you know, this was a very evil and corrupt system. And it hasn't become any less corrupt over the years. And so that brought into my mind this whole issue of evil in the world and the reality that God is sovereign over evil. You know, he says, I create light, I create darkness, I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. And that gave me a comfort because I realized that God was sovereign over everything. And even though I realize that God is sovereign over evil, we still are vexed by it. We talked about that on Talk Show Monday night, you know. And I didn't have any upbringing that proclaimed the sovereignty of God. The upbringing that I had was really humanistic relativism. And you know, that man determines his own salvation by letting Jesus into his or her heart, and that salvation is available to all who will accept it. And that even if you accept it, you can fall from grace. In other words, man doesn't actually receive everlasting life at the new birth experience. He can fall at any time by his free will. And as I went through my life, I began to realize that, you know, through the revelation of the Holy Spirit, that much had been withheld from me from scriptures. I went to church pretty much every Sunday with my parents at this Armenian Church of God Holiness Church. And they pretty much, the church there pretty much obliterated the Bible. They never taught the whole counsel of God. And so when I began to read Arthur Pink's Sovereignty of God, this was a real wake-up call for me through the Holy Spirit. I realized that the great lie of free will, that man denies that man is dead in his trespasses and sin, a denial of the original sin. And I also found that this experience that I had lived up in was probably pretty much the same kind of teachings that most people in the United States as children were taught, with all the churches out there, the Southern Baptist churches, the Christian churches, the Presbyterian churches would be an exception. A lot of them proclaimed God's sovereignty, but they were still making faith a work. They did not believe in that quickening preceded faith. In fact, they more or less taught that faith brought about quickening. But most of the churches were even beyond that. They were teaching that free will brought about faith and repentance and belief. You know, that included the Methodist churches, the Southern Baptist churches, the Fundamental Baptist churches, the Disciples of Christ, the Nazarene churches, the Pentecostal churches, and all those other splinter groups were teaching this free will of man. Once it was revealed to me that God is sovereign over evil and he does all things after the counsel of his own will, and that God has allowed these evil forces to come to power, like I said, that gave a deeper understanding of the attributes of God. We know that God has purposed in using evil to glorify himself. That's what he did with Lucifer. Lucifer was created as a non-elect angel. You know? And so as I began to research these things out after the truth of the revelation of the Holy Spirit of God came to me and caused me to be born again, revealed his spirit within me, that I was his child, everything became different. Once I realized that the covenant between the Godhead secured, you know, the election for all for whom Christ would die before creation, this was a phenomenal truth, you know, validated by the Bible. And I realized how much deception was really out there. You know, with all these new versions of the Bible and how they had changed the Word of God. And even the fact that God is behind this, you know, these people, allowing these people to be deceived. He said he would cause strong delusion that they would believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. And so I found myself, you know, in the midst of Babylon. And I worked amidst Babylon. Even after I was terminated from the state of Missouri, I still had to provide for my family. And I found myself in that scenario where I was out amongst the public. I had many different jobs throughout the course of my career, trying to struggle to survive. I worked in marketing and sales, and that's a tough nut to crack. But it was helpful for me to understand that I did not determine what happened to me. Yeah, sometimes I often thought, why did this happen to me? You know, what's going on? But, you know, predestination really is a marvelous doctrine once a person understands the significance of it and the assurance that it gives to the elect child of God in their faith. You know, once I began to study Ephesians according as He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us in the adoption of children by Jesus Christ Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Those two verses really set out the work of predestination by God in salvation. And so that's what I have been proclaiming over the last 20 years. And there have been many times when I've become discouraged, questioned my election. Many times I've succumbed to sin, drawn away of my own lust and enticed. There's many times when I have been mocked by Satan, who is the great accuser of the brethren. There's been many times when I have really thought I was a reprobate. And there'll probably be times in the future where I think the same. That's Satan's work, isn't it? But there's also the underlying times when Christ would come in a very special way and reveal Himself to me. He says His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. And we know that if we have any faith at all, if we even have faith as a grain of mustard seed that's been given to us by God, we know that He's done everything. You know, He's foreknown us. He's predestinated us. He's adopted us. He's effectually called us. He's justified us, and He's glorified us. And so, like our study ended in Jude, I'll end that this morning with this devotional. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding glory, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and ever. Amen. How can He present us faultless? Because I know I'm not faultless in and of myself. I'm full of sin. I'm vile and wretched. You know, how can a man know the total wretchedness of his own heart? You know, the only way he can do it, the only way he can present us faultless is through the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's it. He looks at His Son and sees us as righteous because what His Son has done. That's it. And so, what I have on my mind this morning. And I want to just read this to conclude. When we take our first breath and are born on this earth, our mother and our father celebrate our new birth. They invite the relatives over full of joy and laughter, but we have been born into a world of sin and disaster. Something needs to happen to get us out of this state. We need to be born again. The Bible tells us for His people they were predestinated. It was His plan. Well, if that's the case for you and that's the case for me, we have received salvation, full and free. You cannot force someone else to change. You cannot even change your own heart. So why don't we read the Bible and discover for a start that God is sovereign? This is not our part. Being resigned to God's will is the perfect admission that He's brought our hearts into submission. And we can say like Christ, "Not my will, but thine be done." This is the way for God's people to best honor His Son. So the next time we get all bent out of shape and don't like the way things are going, remember that God is in control. And if we are one of His children, He has redeemed our eternal souls. So we'll praise Him and give Him thanks for giving His life for you and me and causing us to be born again and setting our souls at liberty. God be with you this day, is my prayer.